is Motherhood Wisdom, and tonight we have a very wonderful show planned for you. I'm going to start tonight's show off with a song that I have always loved, by an artist I've always loved. And this song is Everlasting Love by Chaka Khan.
Thank you.
All right. That was Chaka Khan, Everlasting Love. And I want to take the time to welcome our guest, our featured guest tonight, Elder Kwame Sunhorse. You want to introduce yourself?
Well, greetings. And I almost didn't get here. I had to get on the computer. You were supposed to text me a number.
I'm so sorry.
And calling, and I'm going like, you ain't answering the phone. So I had to go to the computer and type you in and finally got connected and found you. But Spirit invited us to be together to do this show, so here we are.
Yes, we are. Here we are. And I'm so thankful and grateful. I wanted to start it off by reading I actually have two cards, but I'm going to read one, and then I'll read the other one later on. And then I want you to let the audience know why you chose the name. I'm also going to, you know what, I'll read the poem first. Because this is a poem that I wrote, and I read it, and I didn't have a name for it. And Kwame gave me the name for it. Let him tell you why he gave the name. The poem is A Touch of Nature. Can I touch not your flesh, but your soul? That's where your true heart is. Or so I'm told. Can I share my essence, all that makes me divine? Touch my imagination, step back and watch my unconditional love unwind. Some believe that this is just a state of consciousness. Others believe it's just a figment, some lost fragment of my mind. Either way, I'm cool. Fates, follies, fortunes of the fool. I have always preferred the common sense lessons, not often taught in human schools. Nature is my ultimate teacher, now that I have learned how to walk using her universal rules. And that's that piece written by me, Valerie Ames. Okay, you want to tell why you named it A Touch of Nature?
Well, I gave it the energy. It wasn't why, it's what I felt when you were reading the words, and what I was expressing with it is that in source giving you those words, you put those words together in order to bring an energy that gave an unconditional love that the soul needs, that nature gives. And it's in us touching the mother, you know, because she's love. She's constantly loving and giving life to us here on this planet. And so that was the energy that was given. But it also resonates with, you know, these alignments and these things. We just came through the Lion's Gate, and we had the energy of July 26th, the alignment with Isis, the star Sirius, and realigning the Earth energy. And we also had what happens was called the Grand Sextile, and that happened on July 29th, and that was the forming of the planets, forming the Star of David. The male and the female energy of the pyramid, one up, one down, one male, one female, and they were formating the Star of David, and in the center was our planet. And so it was with that energy, because it was a very powerful energy and a very powerful time for the magic that came about. And it dealt with the Merkaba, which deals with love, spirit, and soul. And it was that this vehicle that we got from the heavens with this formation was a transcendency of energy, and I'll share a little bit of something that they said on it. It said, this corresponds to Dot on the Tree of Life, an aspiration that could ascend only but so far until they hit Dot. And Dot is in the Tree of Life, is that one circle that is hidden because it has its own secret, because Dot was kept secret, and off the traditional tree because of the power it contained. It was sexual, but more than that, it was the veil of the bride or the goddess. The male aspiration had to become one with this energy in order to get to the higher plane. Dot means to know, which is why sex in the Bible described as man knowing a woman. As in Adam knew Eve and they had children, but Dot is not the knowledge but the higher knowledge because of the portal to reach that higher plane. Dot is associated with Pluto, who is the initiator of this love. And see, Pluto was one of the planets in line, Venus and the other four, because it was six. And this is what you were saying when you were talking about seeing the soul, because it's a resonant of frequency. The eyes is the mirror of the soul. And that's why when you look into her eyes or when she looks into his eyes, she can feel that energy. And when you walk into nature in the forest, you feel her energy. You feel that resonance. This is why now we're dealing with this new formation of defining dis-ease, is because this new disease they call is nature deficit disorder. Because we're not going in the forest, we're not walking in, on the grass, we're not in the parks, we're not living in nature like we once were. We're people of the sun and the land. And now we're in concrete jungles and living in boxes of air condition. Get out of the box of air condition, get into another box with wheels on it, push the accelerator, drive to another place, get out of the box with wheels and go into a building and work. And get tied into utilizing our time to do constructive or destructive things to the planet. And then we have this routine that we're out of order. The natural order of things in the universe is that we've journeyed 26,000 years, and now we're the people here at this now moment are the new humans that's making this new 26,000-year journey around the Milky Way galaxy. We're cosmic beings coming to have a human experience. Carl Sagan says is that we're stardust formulated into matter to see ourselves, to see what our creation looks like.
And you let me just stop you for a moment. I know you don't have Facebook. The listeners don't know that you don't participate with Facebook. But, you know, I posted something on my Facebook page about Homo sapiens becoming Homo spiritus, and that is just getting into what you're getting ready to introduce. And that is what so many people don't understand. We all speak about ascending. We all speak about change. We all speak about mutating and growing in this different way and changing into something we've not been before. And this is what I want people to understand is happening if you choose to allow your frequency to be affected by it. Okay, I'm sorry.
you're very much correct, because we evolved from the Neanderthal. We're 16.4 billion years old, life on this planet. And so what we're doing, we come from the amoeba, the cellular level, to this now human, because we came from the Neanderthal and the different stages of our development. But if we even just look back, okay, a good example, 1863, the Africans that were in put into servitude here were given a proclamation to say, now you're no longer enslaved, you're free. 1963, a leader stood at the foot of a statue that houses the person who freed us in 1863 at the Lincoln Memorial and gave a speech that he had a dream.
Yeah.
And in 2013, you had a black president stand at that same spot, put his hand on the Bible that the man that wrote the Emancipation and the man that gave you the dream and took an oath in front of three black women in the White House and gave the oath to that divine feminine and said that he will be in, be the masculine leader of this United States. Now, that is a cosmic story unfolded from 1863 to 2013.
Teach. And, you know, I want to bring some light, too, that you brought up the Neanderthal. And for the longest time, we have been so programmed and manipulated to believe that the Neanderthals and those of the earliest times were simple-minded. And that is not the case at all. That is, they were never simple-minded. They were full of mother wit. And they learned and adapted based upon their mother wit. And we are now coming to a stage in our evolutionary process where we're getting ready to get back in touch with that mother wit. Because that mother wit is what created the universe and what keeps it going.
And you're very correct.
And that's, yes, go ahead.
And you're very correct in the mother wit and the mother, but it's in the word evolution. Because in the word evolution, if you put it in a mirror, it says, know it you love.
That's deep. I told you that before. When you broke that down to me, that is so deep. Say that again.
Know it you love. When you spell evolution backwards, when you put it in the mirror, you have, it's E-V-O-L-U-I-T, no, T-I-O-N, right?
Yes.
And you spell it back, N-O, no, I-T, it, you, L-O-V-E.
Know it, you love. That is so deep. That,
but
you know, and
knowing love, this is what Source is. Source is love. And the thing that we did is through love that we grew to be who we are at this now moment. It's through the love of Source and giving us divine guidance and consciousness and constantly releasing new energy for us to take ourselves to the greater heights, because it's even in the Christ story, it says, that which I do in you, greater will be yours, which you do.
Mm.
Because we're constantly living in with the love of Source, we're constantly growing and developing and becoming the God and goddesses that we're a reflection of. Man is made in the image of Source.
Yeah.
And what you were saying when you were talking about the poem that you wrote, you know, in touch with nature, and the part that you're dealing with is nature is this planet. And she's given us constantly given love, because she's growing and providing. And sometimes she gets upset and creates storms and clears it up and but she reproduces. She goes to sleep. She has an order to herself. And what we are as her children on this planet, we're out of order. We're attacking our mother by poking holes in her. Do you know in Japan right now with that nuclear reactor and what they did, that it is boring a hole into Mother Earth and they cannot stop it? They cannot stop that nuclear reactor that is burning through the core of this planet and will burn its way into the center. But as it's doing this, it is releasing the toxins into the water that's spilling into her ocean. That's like putting radiation into the womb of a woman carrying a child, because that ocean water and the womb that a child develops in are the same water.
Yes, yes, yes. It you know, I posted something. It's so strange that you should say that. It just shows how in sync we are. I posted something about that today, about what's going on in Japan and how Emoto said that hemp seeds should be planted, and a lot of hemp should be planted over there because it would help to restore balance.
But you
and
know, another
just,
plant does the same thing.
What?
And they
Which one?
Found it, and they put them around most of the places now. Sunflowers.
Yes.
Sunflowers draws down the energy of the sun's radiation, but it balances. And so what they found is that that plant will balance. Nature creates the things that work. This is how we things that become extinct, they're always, it's going to go out, but there's something to come and balance it back. Nature always keeps her balance.
Yes, and, you know, there we're speaking of that. There's a big sinkhole in Florida. They were building these, like, resort places, and the building was brand new, and it just went down into the sinkhole, and I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I hope we take note of what is happening, and I hope that we are not so out of touch and so fluoridated and chemtrailed and so disassociated that we are not aware enough. I hope we're aware enough to see what's going on.
You gave a very excellent point, because I was just looking at some information that they're doing. Do you know now that what we're doing now is building structures in these new skyscrapers? They just built one in England, and what they're doing is called geomancy. Is that they have to know the polarity is like where they used to build cathedrals and churches.
Yes.
And that they build it on a certain point of the land. This is what I was just saying earlier when I said that the star connected on the 26th is when Sirius and Orion aligns with the Pyramid of Giza. And what happens is that star of Sirius, which is the largest star in our galaxy, that's the spirit sun of our sun. And she aligns. Sirius represents Isis. Orion represents Osiris.
Right.
And then they line up with that pyramid to the king's chamber and the queen's chamber. And those two lights shine into that pyramid and emits an energy with that granite and crystal granite that's in there, built into where that light frequency sends it down through the chambers of the pyramid into the earth, back into the hollow earth, to Shambhala, to the center of the earth. And it resonates to where the people knew that when that happened on that day, the Nile rose and flooded the land in order for the land to be plentiful enough to grow the next feeding nutrition from that Nile River. That was the astral arc technology that we knew, our science, how to build a structure on the exact center of the earth. The exact center and the landmass of most landmass is where that pyramid is built, because when you look at it and you look at the longitude and latitude of landmass, the majority of the landmass is above Giza. And what you have to understand is that here in the United States, in Galveston, Texas, on 29.6 latitude, they built three exact pyramids. One is an aquarium, One is made of crystal, and it's a gallery, and then one other, I think, is the mall. But all three of these pyramids is built on the exact parallel to those in Giza. And what they did is they tapped into that energy that will come into the planet when that Sirius and Orion align, because it activates the grid. There's 144 grids. There's an electromagnetic field that this planet has energy. She is energy. And she
yes.
gets energy every year when that alignment comes, and is constantly being given by the sun. The sun now has made her flip. She's now switching from her south pole to the south is in the north, and the north is going to be in the south. And because that we've crossed the galactic center, because on August 11th, 3114 B.C. began that count. We're now in the 52,000 year of our galactic return. And we've just crossed the center of our Milky Way, and we're on this golden order journey back around this Milky Way again, and the evolution is going to be even greater.
And one of the things that Spirit has told me about this, with this alignment came the soulmate. The soulmate vibration has reawakened. And what that means is that a lot of people are going to be looking for substance now. And they're going to be looking for substance in the eyes of another person to reflect back to them what they need to see, what they need to be in order to survive and maintain. That reflection has to be there, and that is what a lot of people call the Hieros Gamos. That is that sacred union, that sacred marriage. And when you have that alignment, just like you were speaking of with the pyramids, the front and the sides and so forth, that is the union. That is what has always been spoken about. When you think of stars and the star system, it's angles, and you have to be able to mathematically understand what happens when those angles connect. And like you were saying, when they create a grid, and when that grid crosses a certain degree, there's so much that takes place. And the ancients knew this, and they wrote it in their systems. And we are just now getting back to the point where we are starting to remember these things and put them back together again. And that's not coincidence. That is part of the evolutionary process that is taking place.
And you're very correct, because what we just did yesterday was the closing of the Lion's Gate. And the Lion's Gate began on July 26th, and it went through August the 12th. And the Lion's Gate, okay, here, I'll share this with you.
Okay.
Many have asked, what is the Lion's Gate, and why is it named for the lion? Well, it refers part to the fact that the sun enters into the sign of Leo at this time, and these energies are integrated into the earth under the energy of the lion. The feline energy of Sirius, that's what I just saying, that Sirius was aligning with the Pyramid of Giza that represents Isis, which are fierce and proud and very royal. The gate or stargate is a period of approximately 2 weeks in which a vortex opens and a wave of intense light from the galactic center is received on this earth. This wave contains new light codes for the evolution of the earth. Evolution, know it you love, of the earth for the next year cycle, because we just crossed the galactic center starting this next great year, that 26,000-year journey around the Milky Way. And so it is known as the planetary new year. A star system of Sirius has always worked closely with the evolution of the Earth, assisting where possible, the Syrians assisted in the establishment of the ancient Egyptian civilization after Atlantis trauma that had destroyed previous civilizations. The Egyptian civilization carried the star wisdom and the creation history of the Elohim, which was transmitted to the earth by the Syrian wisdom keepers. In ancient Egypt, the Syrians were the mediators between the Galactic Council and the Center Sun and the people of the earth. Each year between July 26th and the 12th of August, a new wave of galactic light from the central sun, that's the sun behind the sun, would be directed towards earth and magnified by the sun in conjunction with the helic rising of Sirius in the north. And see, this is what we they know it, but we are now being given what has naturally been where it began. Egypt is in what continent? Somaliland, but they call it Africa. The origin of human race. And so as human beings, we are carrying this in our cellular memory. And what we're doing is we're being given the cosmic consciousness to reawaken this DNA in order to bring about us becoming conscious of who we are and what we're capable of being able to produce.
I agree. We have a question in the chat room. When we were speaking about the radiation and the hemp and so forth, Skaden Angel has a question. Sunflowers and hemp may draw out the radioactivity. However, how do you then handle the sunflower or hemp? Is it radioactive, and does it have to be handled as radioactive waste?
No.
And I'll go out on a little limb here and say, yes, it does have to be handled as a radioactive waste, because what it will do is it will draw in anything that is a conductor, will draw into it. If it's going to pull, it's going to pull that radioactivity out and put it within itself. It's drawing it in. So you would have to handle it as a waste. But you replant and you replenish. And as you replant and as you replenish, the more you get rid of, the less there will be to get rid of. I hope that makes sense, and I hope that answers your question. Kwame, did you want to say something on that? And if you have more, Skating Angel, please type it in the chat room now.
Okay, and that's a good point. And in that plant being able to absorb that energy and utilize and take it to help protect her. Yes, it will be somewhat dangerous to it, but in itself it's the energy that's coming from the mother that is growing in, that she. So what that reason why I'm saying I can't agree totally with it is because then that would make that land that those flowers are growing in would be not able to grow anything because of the radiation that has been conducted into it. But what that plant does, it's able to neutralize it. It's just like, have you ever heard of Agnihotra? Agnihotra,
yes.
Is a basic thing that they take, and they take a copper pyramid, and they take ghee, which is unsalted butter, and the oil, and then they take cow dung. And at sunrise and sunset, they light this dung, and the energy that comes from it takes away the radiation. It's like smudging done with in Native American to get rid of negative energy. There's always a counter to what is that we deal with. And so,
yes,
with energy, nature gives you the tools to counter what man may create and do something to have created. It's just like a mole was discovered to be penicillin to cure disease. A mole that grows on something turns around and can extract penicillin from that mole, and you can make penicillin from it. Just like you can take melanin, which put pure melanin in a petri dish, and you can take any disease on the planet and put in it, and it does not survive. It's because nature has a balancing of what it is that has the negative always has its positive.
Yes.
So
I just want to say, you know, that's a universal law.
Yeah.
That is a universal law.
Okay.
If there's what is known as bad, then there has to be what's known as good.
Okay.
If there is sickness, there has to be a cure. And
right.
One of the things that Mama has a lot of that we have lost the knowledge of, but that we are starting to remember and regain, is what natural transmutation is. And we contain, our own human body contains good and bad bacteria, you know,
right.
And we have within us systems and organs that are complex and developed enough to transmute most of the sicknesses that we come up against.
Right.
And when we take natural medicines or homeopathic interventions, we aid ourselves in transmuting whatever poison is possible. And
right.
The hemp and the sunflower will do the same thing. They are natural transmuters, or just like Kwame said, they neutralize naturally that land and what is going on in there. And that's what it is. And so thank you so much for that question, and I hope we've answered it for you. And they said thank you for the answer, Kwame. Did you have anything else you'd like to say about that?
And no, it's that in us overstanding, like you were saying, about nature having the balance that cures the illness, because the human body that we grew when that sperm and egg met and those cells divided into eight and it became who we are now speaking. What happened with that is that we grew and we grew in with that brain and we grew a immune system to where this is why breast milk completes the immune system of that child when it comes out, because it feeds off the outer womb that they came from the inner womb. And so in that child getting that breast milk, it helps the mother pull everything back into place, but it also gives that child the necessary nutrients that it's going to need. It's like it's the mother's milk is the vaccination for the child to deal with the world. So in that vaccination of the human immune system, what shuts our immune system down that causes the dis-ease is fear, stress, depression, anxiety, because what happens is it has to shut down its defenses to go and deal with those other parts of what is not love. And so when we understand that the body is made to live, you cut yourself, what does it do? All the blood cells, the white blood cells run up there. It creates the necessary thing to stop itself from bleeding. It creates a scab because man cannot make a scab. You can make all the other things, but you can't do like the human body does. It turns around there and coagulates and turns around and stop that cut. And then what we used to do is the old folks used to grab spider webs, or they knew the necessary ash that they could use or the necessary plant to put on that, take an aloe vera plant, rub it over that, wrap it up in a piece of rag, and a few days later you take it off and you heal.
Yeah.
The body is made to live if you give it what it needs to live. But when you start giving it thoughts of disease, giving it thoughts of lack, giving it thoughts of of discomfort, then the body begins to program itself to say, shut down, shut down, shut down, shut down, and you begin to do what? Die.
Die, yes. That is, that's remarkable. And I want to thank you so much for agreeing to be here. And you know, I always, it is such a pleasure for me to have you here. I'm going to read the card from the 2013 Oracle deck by The Ancient Keys to the 2012 Awakening by David Carson. The card that was pulled is the number 8, and it is the advisor's card, advice. There are inherent truths hidden in the fabric of reality. Ancient experts were given the task of unraveling these truths and giving advice. There were advisors who were priestesses, priests, sibyls, seers, prophets, astronomers, dreamers, dancers, scholars, and many other kinds of specialists. The ancient advisors knew how to gaze into flames, bones, smoke, leaves, crystals, clouds, and animal behavior, and how to mirror their unheard voices. 8 is the advisor card's number. The number 8 has achieved knowledge and authority. As such, 8 becomes a guiding number. In the ideal, advisors guide and assist one in the process of evolving to a higher state. The ancient calendars were divided into 8 parts and charted 8 Venus counterclockwise positions in alignment with Earth. The number 8 can be very lucky. Advisors can help you shape a strategy for radically altering your field of play. If you seek advice, listen to plants, animals, trees, elders, minerals, ancestors, spiritual teachers, or other sensible experts. Advice is germane to the surroundings. Learn to heighten your awareness of the immediate. See with new eyes the scene unfolding around you. The signs are waiting for your interpretation. Pray, meditate. Teach yourself a divinatory system. Take responsibility for your actions. Teach children that they are capable of conscious decision-making and do not have to be the victims of cultural bias and conditioning. The world is alive when you respond to the synchronicity of each moment. Animals, the weather, tree, and plant spirits offer you the wisdom of the ages. There are countless stories of human lives saved because someone paid attention. Advisors are related to 4 different levels of understanding: emotional, physical, psychical, and spiritual. Good advisors minimize stress. Advisors tell us that life is process and we need to get past our difficulties. We need to release and not cling to problems. If you are simply looking for practical advice, there is a rich landscape of advisors in offices and libraries. Do some intelligent digging to find the right advisor. Good advisors are solvers and not hidden furtherance to your problems. In other words, they don't string you out. The advisor card may suggest that you have inadequate information about a given situation. It may indicate the need for concentrated analysis and planning. It says to be relentless and thorough in your pursuit of the facts. Ask yourself, how do I get organized to pursue my intentions? Is there an objective observer or wise person you can draw upon for support? An advisor can act as an advocate for a particular point of view. A true advisor teaches one how to become aware and how to avoid inner conflict. And I just want to stop for a moment and say, a teacher is not going to change a situation for you. They're going to point out the ways for you to look at it and dissect it differently and give you choices on how to deal with it. They're not going to change it for you. They're not going to point it out and say, do this, do that. They're going to show you the options. That is what a true teacher or advisor does. Ultimately, the decision that you make comes from you. Okay, back to reading now. The true advisor's great gift is the recognition of every aspect of a problem. Advisors teach us how to face into both light and darkness, and that means to discover your real power within. Divination is such a tool. For instance, what advice does the puma have for you? Does the puma point you to a new role within the question? Eagle sees the complexity of any situation and sees the need for adjustments. Snake is wise and grounded and can find the exact spot within a question to focus energy. Wolf may suggest you seek advice from a recognized authority. On the other hand, you are the authority you seek. Advisor cards tell you to listen to the advice that is all around and to access your deepest knowing. Do not expect advisors to provide you with a complete answer. This card instructs you to examine your advice carefully and look critically at what is working for you and what is working against you. Obtain clarity and then act upon your understanding. The advisor you seek is within. And that was that card. And Kwame, do you want to speak about that one before I go to move on to the next one?
Yes, and what Spirit is saying is because in it you were giving the different helpers. And the number 8 is Anunnaki, or in what we call the grandmother, the spider. Because in Native, the grandmother links us to past and future. And unlike the other insects, it has a two-section body instead of 3. And it often is given and looked at as the figure 8 in its appearance. This is in conjunction with its 8 legs, like other insects have 6. And it links all of this to the mysticism associated with the geometric form of the figure 8. And on its side, looking at it, is the symbol of infinity. And this is, you know, life's wheel. And so in us seeing this figure 8, that Anunnaki, that's what the one who went and got the stories in African fable. But the
yes.
part of spider being able to weave its web and to be able to form these geometric shapes to catch what it needed and to weave a web that would be able to create what we call kente cloth. And the fable says is that if you you can take the strength of many webs and put together and hold a lion. It's that in that binding of that tiny thread of silk that spider creates, enough of it put together can bind and tie a lion. It's strength in numbers is what it's saying. And that spider represents an infinite. 8 is an infinite because 9 is completion. You have infinite possibilities, and in the 9th level is that it is complete once you understand that knowledge of self. And so...
And you know... Go ahead.
What you were sharing is the infinite knowledge of what nature has, what the insect world has, the mineral, all of this that we have been given here on this Mother Earth is that infinite amount of tools that we have to build who we are.
Yes. And, you know, I pulled this 8 card. And yet, and when I was reading it earlier, I was told to also read 9, which is right behind it. And it's so funny that you went on to say that 9 is completion. And I'm just going to go into the 9 card. It's the world tree, centeredness. When you sit beneath the limbs of the sacred tree, Light dapples the earth, and you are feathered by sun eagle and hummingbird with gold, green, yellow, and crimson. The galactic tree is the giver of a new light of consciousness. The mystical tree of life is complete. Venus has risen over the branches of this glorious tree. World Tree is calling her children to come and find refuge and renewal. Come and rest under my branches. Here you will find communion. All are welcome at the base of the healing tree, the medicine tree of the people. I am sacred, she says. Use me for your spiritual purposes. Long ago, Turkey and Tree had a contest to see who would give the greatest gift. Tree won with her first breath. Honor the sacred tree, the breathing tree, for she literally gives you life. Tree embodies completion and perfection, which are qualities of the number 9. When there is a tree, there is holiness and power. Each and every tree has ritual and ceremonial importance. A tree binds the 4 directions of the cosmos together. The roots bind together the 4 sides of earth. Trees have a language, and they speak to one another, and this mystical line of communication exists between humans and trees. Humans give their sacred gifts to trees because they are a direct connection to the galactic tree. Go to the tree, put your hands against the trunk, and pray. Thank the tree for your life. Trees have cosmic healing powers. Sit under trees. This act restores psychological calm and mental clarity. The branching and flowering tree is the holy tree at the center of the 7 spheres or worlds. There are more roots than branches, say the old ones, when they are teaching the law of correspondence. Trees must be rooted as well as reaching. What is above is also below. World Tree says, come to the perfect center, to the great indwelling power. She is the spirit of all trees. The roots of the World Tree go to the absolute bottom of the universe, and the branches reach to the absolute top. This tree contains the principle of all trees, and yet it does not contain the principle of all trees. It is the sprouting tree of the beginning, and yet it has no beginning. It is beyond time, but it is also in it. It is the fallen tree of the ending, and yet it never ends. It is forever beginning and ending, and between the uppermost branches and the deepest roots exist countless worlds, and each world contains infinities of others. World Tree is the sacred tree. I'm going to stop for a minute because this is so funny. What just the little voice just popped into my head and said, Dr. Seuss with Horton Hears a Who. You know how all the different worlds and no one could hear the Who's except for Horton. And he went around trying to tell everybody that there was this other little teeny tiny world, you know, and finally they believed him and, you know, they listened. And they all heard the little voice. Okay, I'm sorry that had to come out because Spirit threw it in my mind for a reason. Okay, World Tree is the sacred tree and stands at the living center of the nation and the world. She is the tree of counsel. The trunk is the connection of the earth below and sky above. She is eternally embraced by a double pyramid of light. The 2 flower eagles, hummingbirds, bring a sunbeam and attach it to the red. Let me say that again because my mind is going. Okay. World Tree is the sacred tree and stands at the living center of the nation and the world. She is the tree of counsel. The trunk is the connection of the earth below and sky above. She is eternally embraced by a double pyramid of light. The two flower eagles, hummingbirds, I love the way it calls them, flower eagles, hummingbirds, bring a sunbeam and attach it to the rainbow. The light is ethereal and purifying. The rays that bathe the tree are creative as well as recreative. Because of its double nature, male and female, the four elements are in the tree. There is water in the earth, and radiation from the sun moves through the air. The holy tree is a place for celebration and dance, a place of sacrifice. It is a refuge of harmony and universal order. Is it any wonder that so many sages have received enlightenment at the base of a sacred tree? The world tree represents fullness of mind and spiritual reaching toward the ultimate. Adepts have always sought the exquisite blossoms on the tree of life. Hovering near the flowering tree, hummingbirds are a sign of fruitfulness and well-being. True energy protects children and assists them in their daily life's journey. World tree card indicates steady future growth because of your well-rooted actions. It presages the bearing of fruit from your labors, the good fruit from the good tree. And to taste of this fruit is to taste and realize new possibilities. Go ahead and sample sweet fruits from this magnificent tree. The world tree always speaks of balance within the situation or question and suggests ways you can create it. Let this sacred tree teach you how to be yourself, to grow and nourish in stately grace. The dew-jeweled leaves are sparkling in the morning of life. With this spirit tree, you can be perfect and complete. Let wholeness and sacredness emanate from you. Become one with this great tree of life. And that was from the 2013 Oracle, Ancient Keys to the 2012 Awakening by David Carson and Nina Salmon. What you think of that? And I know it touched on your beloved hummingbirds.
Oh, yeah, my feet are out there that feeds my hummingbirds, but it touched on a lot of other key points, and the tree is the tree of life, because when I was reading about the tree of life and the dot and the knowledge and that part of hidden within that tree, and the other part that really resonated too is the Star of David, the two pyramids, the male and the female, the one facing down and up, and how we were in that energy just now. And it was in alignment with that. You would pick that part to read that passage saying the double pyramid, and then you had to catch a breath and go back and read it again, because it's in that energy of that double pyramid of the male and female creating and illuminating that light. In them coming together, those six planets that came together to make that hexagon, and that created the hex. But the tree, and what really was powerful with it, is the tree of souls in the movie Avatar, and how it joined all of those spirits were in that tree. And if you overstand in the trunk of a tree, is that we look at the trunk and it's covered by bark and it's surrounded and it goes all the way up and the roots are deeply embedded into the earth and the waters come. But have you ever looked at how does all the water that the tree roots absorb goes to that top branch that's reaching in the sky, and that little leaf that's at the top of that tree on that branch, it gets a drink of water just the same as all the rest of the branches, is because in that bark, in that centering of way we count a tree is the rings, is because there's a vortex that defies gravity inside that tree. That water, when it's absorbed and pulled in, is spun in that tree. That's why you count the age of a tree by circles, because that water flows in that circle as created in a vortex, and it's drawn up to that little last leaf that's on the top of that tree. And what used to be a little plaque that I had over my kitchen. It says, any man can count the seeds in an apple. Only one source knows how many apples is in that seed.
Mm.
And see, that's the part of being able to understand the power of a mustard seed when they speak about it. But that tiny mustard seed will grow into that huge tree. A mustard tree is very huge. It's almost like an oak tree. But it's from that tiny little mustard seed that it can grow that tree. Because what you began in saying, that she was given the authority because she's our out-breath gives tree life. Her out-breath gives us life because trees create oxygen.
Right.
When you breathe out, it takes your carbon, what you're breathing out, it takes that and transforms it and gives
into
us into oxygen. So we give that tree and us exchange that breath of life because that's the tree of life. That's how you live. But when you destroy trees and the land goes, it becomes a desert. It's deserted of life. That's what creates death. That's why they call the Sahara Desert, which Sahara means desert, so it's saying desert. It's because that used to be a forest. You can't see the forest for the trees because the tree is the forest.
Yes.
They always used to say, well, you can't see the forest for the tree. Well, it can't be a forest without trees. It's real simple, but we complicate a simple thing because trees are life. Because if you look at the human being and you turn upside down and stretch him out, he's a tree. The brain is the roots and connecting to the earth. We're connected to the universe. The tree is connected to the earth. We're in reverse. That's all. And every leaf on a tree is a being. That's why she sheds her beings and she grows a new set of beings. Every season, we the woman creates and has new life. And then she goes to sleep and hibernates. And she lays under that blanket she puts up on the forest floor. And her roots are warmed up, and then she takes and allows it to decay and feed herself. And then comes the turning of the sun, and then she rejuvenates and takes that energy from that life that dropped off her and rejuvenates and grows anew. She keeps that cycle going.
Yes.
And see, the strength of trees is very powerful because a tree that won't bend won't stand because the wind will blow it over. But if the tree has strong enough roots, it can bend. That's why palm trees are made to be in coastal areas, is because they're deeply rooted and they're built in such a way that they will bend and they will touch the earth and bounce back up. But a pine tree with little roots and a big trunk, when the wind blows, it doesn't want to bend. So what happens? It had the wind. Over. So it's learning to be, to give, you know, when you have to give and take that and then stand again.
Yes. I'm going to give us a minute to get some water and catch our breath. And I'm going to play a little music. I'm going to play You Will Rise by Sweetback featuring Emile LaRue. And here it is.
Thank you.
Rise by Sweetback featuring Amel LaRue. And I want to, okay, you like the instrumentals? Mother, how often does your show air? My show airs once a week, usually on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Know Your Enemy. And you can always catch it in the archives if you miss the show as well. And sometimes I do shows to accommodate my guests or as Spirit directs. Okay. Kwame, you know, we were talking about a lot of things, and as my listeners should know by now, I share everything with you. And we have heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, spirit-to-spirit kind of talks. And we were talking about the last video I sent you with the Kundalini rising and how full of that energy I was. And I want to read another poem because this energy has, just like you were speaking of all these different alignments and attunements, and there has been so much going on with me that is of a different nature, and I'll speak to that different nature as soon as I read this poem. It's called The Dark One Speaks, and I'm going to give a warning because it is adult-themed, so if you have little ones, you may not want them to hear this. You may want to push them out the room or turn it down or something if they're in the area. Okay. This is called The Dark One Speaks, and, of course, it was written by me. Here it is. She is goddess of light. I be her shadow, twilight. I be the in-between that creeps at midnight. Don't worry when I sink my fangs into you. You will like the sensuous way I bite. Don't you know by now how many trillions of years I have been on the prowl, just waiting for the one who's comfortable, putting me on all fours and making me howl? Lilith, a.k.a. Kali Ma, better known as Jaguar Woman, the Dark One, seducer of thoughts, perfectionist at deeds, mother of both colors and all shades in between. My sweet angel says, throw you no more of my pearls, for I have squandered enough on you to create several worlds. And yet, you still keep me waiting as though I don't know how the sheets will unfurl. You want to strip me of my wings just so mama can fly high, pluck them off one by one as you lick the tears you make me cry, and watch me as I curl up and die. That ain't gonna never happen. So I just thought I would introduce myself. Yes, hello, I am Lilith. And then say, mwah, bye-bye. Last chance, grab your knuckle bones. Meet your twin on the crossroads. You know your daddy, the one who taught you how to play. Ilegba, have it your way. What? Didn't think I saw the two of you? She told you we got a vibe on you the first time we saw you, boo. If you can't handle the light of me, what makes you think you can even imagine what my dark is down to do? Being Jezebel is both heaven and hell, but a girl has got to do what a girl has got to do, oh well. 100% guaranteed, but I promise not to tell. I ain't buying what you're trying to sell. And if this was the Marines, baby, I would tell you to go ring the bell. But let me rein it in just a little notch. Tip your head back and take a swig of me inside this scotch. I be about to transmute what you done thoroughly botched. But it ain't your fault, 'cause I sat there wide-eyed, ate popcorn, and just watched. Met you halfway on your tightrope. No net beneath, because you don't like hope. Looked into your periscope and smoked your dope. Tried to see it your way, but that was a big hill with a slanted slope. I had to finally speak up, 'cause with this melodrama, I can no longer cope. dealing with all your dark thoughts would make Jesus mope. I ain't the one, baby boy. I wasn't made to be anybody's chew toy. That's why you use sex magic to grasp and enjoy, forsaking good old communication to employ your best tribal envoy. What if I told you, little boy blue, that light is often my best decoy? When I told you my name was Legion, I wasn't just being Dr. McCoy. And that's that piece written by Valerie Ames. What did you think about that?
You said in the beginning when you started, it was that in me sharing these energies and these alignments, the Stargate, the Star David, the Lion's Gate, and all of these energies and that was given, and these poems came through you in putting these words together, describing the energies that were coming into your consciousness, and being able to write them and put them in words and then be able to share them with the world over the World Wide Web is what you've done. But in this, it's good that you're able to be able to give us a look at what these deities and how you see the lovemaking and what it is that the energy has given you. Because it says, if you have a love that is a real love, not just a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a mate you like or friends with benefits, but a real genuine love guided by higher principles and unconditional love, this time can be used for divine frequencies to divine love. Make divine love through your heart center, not your head. See your partner as the divine in masculine and feminine form, and you as their consort. This will not be effective if true love is not there. In fact, it could be destructive to you, and if you are going about this with your ego. But if with sweet tenderness of a truly loving friendship, this transcendent energy can be a doorway to heaven. A warning is added. If you do not have this kind of mutual felt relationship, or you are not sure, it is best to just work on yourself with yourself. And see, this is the part when you wrote these words and you put this together, because you have to first deal with the consciousness of you and how you see the relationships of past life and things that have been resonating in your energy. And what now is having to do is that there's a guidance of energy that's been given from the cosmic to help us to get back into this divine order. And it's best that we not go about taking this and going trying to do it with someone else until we've done it with ourselves. That's why when I said I was making this change, and you know, like people always say, I love you, but then when you really think about it, if you're telling that person that you love them, what do you do for yourself? So if you say I love us, which is two spirits united, abbreviation for us is that I love us. I love who you are, and I love who I am. And the combination of that love is unconditional. And what we're doing in it is that we're acknowledging each other as being love by saying that I love us. When you said that it had to be censored, and the part is that the highest part of Tantra, when people be talking about doing Tantra and this and Tantra, that and Tantra, the true person that overstands the Tantra knows that that individual that's speaking is Tantra. I am all that there is in a Tantric relationship. What I share with another is my ability, if you have this. Marvin Gaye had that album, Let's Get It On, and he says, love is love and sex is sex, and if the two shall ever meet, it will be something great. And that's a very true statement that he had on that jacket cover. And what it tells is that when you love you and you know all the energy of your light and can connect with the opposite of you, it's like you're this lamp and you have to stick into this plug to get the electric and get the magnetic going in order to illuminate the light, which the light is in within both of us. And how do we turn on that light? We have to connect our powers.
Yes. Yes, we do. We have a caller. I'm going to see if he wants to come online. Caller, would you like to come online and say a few words or introduce yourself? Your mic is open and all you have to do is speak if you'd like.
Did he press one?
He did not press one, but I saw he was on earlier and he got cut off, and he came back a couple of times. So I'm going to put you back on mute and just think you're listening or maybe you're having some technical difficulties, and I'd like to thank you for calling in and listening to our show.
Shalom, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hear you now.
Hey, okay. I'm actually traveling. I'm driving right now, but I just wanted to say that I truly enjoyed the show, and I love how you brought down the tree. That was beautiful because I'm infatuated with trees ever since I was a child, and I never heard anybody break down a tree like that. How the water makes its way up the roots and up the core of the tree, up to the leaves and all that. That was just so beautiful. I'm really enjoying this program. Thank you.
Thank us.
Yeah, thank us. Thank you so much, caller. We're going to put you back on mute now, and you safe drive, okay? That's the only reason I'm taking you off, because I want you to drive safely.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right. So, Kwame, thank you so much. We have about 6 more minutes. Is there anything else that you wanted to add, more so about, you know, I'm not the only one experiencing this surging of energy that is going on. As I do my daily routine and go about my day, I notice that a lot of people are experiencing openings or deepening or wanting more depth in their relationships. And, you know, I'm so thankful that I am able to notice so many more people are getting in tune with loving themselves. They're listening to that message. They're hearing it from their own guides, you know, and they're looking at the common sense of it, and they're open to that now, and it's reaching and penetrating what it hadn't before. And before, you know, we were taught and programmed not to love ourselves, not to look at ourselves, not to see ourselves, not to accept ourselves, and, you know, to have a relationship with someone is to be outside of yourself. You can't have a relationship with yourself. And now we're learning that the first relationship you have, the first true relationship you have, is with yourself. And
right.
With yourself, that extends to the divine. And when you have that, the more you know yourself, the more you're open to receive messages from the divine, because the divine sees himself or expresses himself through you or herself through you, and you become a living testimony based upon your having a relationship with yourself. you start to shine. You start to speak differently. Your interactions with others become different. Everything expands, and there is an unlimitlessness that you now know exists. And once you know that there is an aspect of you that is eternal, and that has no clue of what time is, you begin to usher in memories of past lives, of past loves, of past emotions. And all of these emotions right now are swimming in a substance or a body that had no idea how to contain all of that. So there are extra aches, and your sleep patterns may be off, and you might find yourself arguing with people who are just not on your frequency or having problems with them. And that is all because you are evolving. You are changing. You are growing. You are becoming more sensitive. You are waking up. You are not so sleep anymore. And do whatever you can to keep people around you who will keep you aroused in a manner that makes you want to expand and explore even more, to go deeper and higher. That is what living is all about. There's a difference between living and existing. We have been existing because we did not know how to live. And we are learning how to live. We are waking up with that knowledge, and we are learning how to live. And we are being led and guided by the unseen guides that have always been here. Okay, Kwame, did you have anything more you want to say?
Okay, and I'll close with this, and this is from Celia Fins, and this is what I've been kind of sharing with in and out in different pieces of this and dealing with the Star Chart Global. And what it says is that the new human, the human angel light body template and activation for receiving the incoming energies, this is what you're talking about, and that we've got these new energies. It said, beloved one, as you enter into this golden wave of light, it is important that you simply remember to remain in your center, which is your heart. The heart is the seat of the will. And to keep the light body radiant and clear, remember that in your multidimensional state, your center of gravity is your heart. It is your heart. Breathe from your heart. Breathe light and love from the center that is your sacred heart. Then remember always to ground yourself by connecting into your earth star chakra beneath your feet, connecting back to the mother. Walk on the earth. Stand on a tree. Hug a tree. Feel the earth through your soul, because the soul is the bottom of your feet. Okay, and it says, then remember to connect with your soul star chakra, which is above the crown chakra and where your soul is seated. Draw that energy through the crown chakra and into the heart, so it ignites the divine spark in the heart. Feel how your soul and spirit blend with the divine spark to create the divine flame of your angelic being in your heart. This is why I was saying that we're moving from Homo sapien to Homo spiritus, is that we're going to the etheric. In this fourth dimension, we're moving from the fourth into the fifth, and the fifth deals with the element, the fifth element. Remember the movie, that the fifth element, where
yes,
she was the one that connected the all four of the elements, and she was the fifth, and the fifth element was what? She was love. That's what she had to hear him say, I love you. And once she did that, she stopped the meteor, the planet, from hitting the thing. But she had to give that. You had the divine feminine know, she has to know that there is love between the female and the male. She needs to feel that energy, not just the word, feel that energy of the masculine love. She has to plug into that. Then also feel how your solar chakra opens to absorb and integrate the energy from the sun and distribute them in your light body. Also, galactic chakras allow the waves of light from the galactic center. This is where we're getting this energy from. This is where this energy has inundated this planet. It's pouring down on us as that light shines down. That energy is pure love energy from the sun behind the sun to be integrated into the light body and to fill the light body with radiant light of the divine. The divine energy and the radiance is integrated and shared on a new earth grid of light, a new earth grid of light. This is what we have to do. We have to align with the electromagnetic energy of our earth, of our mother, and reconnecting with her from the heart to the heart. What comes from the heart goes to the heart. If you're talking out your head, you're talking out the side of your neck. When you're talking from the heart, what goes from the heart, what comes from the heart goes to the heart. That's why when you're speaking and when you're hearing a song that's sung from someone, you feel that person's heart when they're singing to you. That's why we call it soul music, because they're singing from their soul. We have to learn how to reconnect etherically. We can connect mentally, we can connect technology, but we've got to connect back to the spiritual. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yes, and that spiritual is home. That it is not some foreign place. It is home. And when you get there, when you get a taste of it, you recognize it as home. You know it's home, and you know what the truth is, and you know what a lie is. And once your eyes are open, there ain't no more closing them. You know,
but a blind
no
person
back
can still love.
See.
How does a blind person see you? He feels what you're saying.
Yes.
So in you speaking, even when you're with a deaf person, his skin is so sensitive that it picks up the energy. He may not be able to hear, but he can feel the energy.
Yes.
So it's in this receptivity of receiving what's coming from the heart of Source to your heart. That's love.
Let me just read something that I was just reading before you said that. Philosophy of Kundalini Tantra. It is important to remember that our connection with the universe is not exactly the same as that of a radio station to receiving radio. We are an intelligent signal which both sends and receives. Thus, the cosmos is not just in contact with us. We are also in contact with the cosmos. The fact is that not only does our signal find its way into all the universe, but all the universe finds its way into our signal. Open up to those signals, and all the universe is available to each of us. So you once again, you just hit it on the head.
Thank you. I mean, Source is utilizing this energy in which we're using these words, because in the book it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And what we're using is the power of our Source. We are God's beings here in this dimension on Earth. And an understanding that I am the man is made in the image. So that means that I'm reflecting that part of which Source is, only that microcosm of the macrocosm. As above, so below.
Yes.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is what?
In heaven.
Where is the heaven?
So above, so below.
There you go. That's That's Tahuti. That's Hermes. That's Thoth. That is the message that was written on the Emerald Tablet.
Yeah.
These truths are been here. What we have, there's nothing new under the sun. We're just remembering our cosmic self. Remember. We are a member of the Cosmic Galactic Federation of the Divine.
Yes.
All we're doing is like in the 10th insight from Celestine Prophecy, the 10th insight, when you read the book, it says is that when that spirit was picking those two people to come to and come through that womb of that woman and that sperm of that man, it had everything it was supposed to do, and it knew it when it got into that womb. Now, the thing is that it has to take that universal mind and put it into a human form. Do you think, just perceive something, can you take the universe and put it into this vessel? Because Rumi says, everything in the universe is within you. When will you learn to use yourself? That's where we're at. Rediscovering our universal oneness.
Yes. Yes, and it's so synchronistic. Like I said at the beginning of the show, you have a computer, but you don't utilize Facebook for your own personal reasons. And I've been posting like a mad woman, as you know from when you were on Facebook before, that I always do. And some of the...
Grandmother John Skyweaver and Facebook is how I met you.
Yes, yes. And I still post like a lunatic sometimes, but, you know, I've been posting about the word and the logos and what that means and taking that into yourself. And I've been talking about the tree of knowledge and the tree of life and the snakes and Adam and Eve and Lilith. And, you know, so much of this is just so on point with the times right now. And it's playing out in everything. If people watch True Blood, they'll see so much of it there. And my daughter has me watching this new show. Well, it's an old show, but it's called The Fringe. And as I'm looking at this show, I'm like, oh, I did a blog on that. I said that. No way, you know, and it's just synchronicity. It's just everything just bam, 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 bam. And as soon as that ego and those doubts want to come, they're being overwritten. They're being overwritten by affirmations and by synchronicity that no longer allows for the untruth to be born.
And, you know, it's a good way in which we're utilizing words. And synchronicity is something that Carl Jung created, and him being a Freud, and Freud being an addict and Egyptologist, and creating, utilizing the Seb, which is the spirit, the life force, and took the B off and put an X on, and made it a problem that they have dealing with sex because they didn't know how to connect to the divine self because they like anyway that's an aberrant child of ours, but anyway.
Couldn't connect with his mother. Freud couldn't connect with his mother on the level that he wanted to. He had his own issues. And those issues
but he
very much present in
the
patriarchal
psychology was because psych is a comedic, meaning spirit or soul, not mental.
Yes.
And that's when confusion came in, and then Jung being his little student and trying to take and discover, went into the continent and started beginning to see the power of our people. And while he was riding a train, is in his book about the dreams or dreams of something by Carl Jung, and he had a flashback because he's from the South. And Carl Jung was riding on the train, and he looked up and seen this Maasai warrior standing up on the hill with that one leg up and standing with the spear, and he went into a dream had a dream that he was a black man in the barbershop getting his nappy head cut, and he had to get out of Africa because it was too much energy there. He couldn't deal with the higher parts of the spirituality and creating this whole thing of connecting, what he called synchronizing. But the thing is that when you spoke about time, and I told you, I think we spoke of it once before, when Sonya Barrett and the sister, look her up on YouTube, the sister is divinely connected without all the accolades and PhDs and MDs and all the other Ds behind her name, because she was in a car homeless with her two sons, and she began to read and reconnect back into the higher self, and now she's sitting up with lecturers talking about physics and quantum physics and diseases and thought and how this whole disease game is going on, and wrote the first book on the holographic canvas. So the part that she was discovering was is that Spirit told her, walking on the beach, he says, take the word time. He says, now divide it. And it says, tie me. That means to bind me. And he says, now look at it backwards. It means to emit. The human is to emit the energy from him. He's not to be tied and stop from emitting his energy.
As I told you before when you told me that, that is so deep. That is so deep, you know.
Simplicity is the part we're looking at is words are spells. That's why it's called spells. They teach you spelling in school. It's to teach you how to do the spells. And the first spell that they did was, you place your left hand over your what?
Your heart, and you say, I pledge allegiance.
And you program yourself.
Mm-mm-mm. You know what? It's funny, too. I just, there was, oh, my God. I just posted on my Facebook page this little picture that said, words are spells.
Right.
And the synchronicity, and people, you know, some people who understand spirit, they understand when you speak of the synchronicity and how everything is just boom, 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 falls into line just like that. But those that don't and have the doubt, they think you're playing games or that we have talked about this before and we're setting out. And you, like I said, you don't know what I've been posting on Facebook, and the stuff that is coming out as is the same stuff that I've been posting, and it is so sweet to me that it just puts a nice cap on it, and I'm so appreciative
divine,
of you.
Because that's divine order. That's why, remember I was saying that what they did with the Global Consciousness Institute, GCI, and what it is a group, and they deal with consciousness. And they learned that each person, when they talk and utilize their energy, that energy that comes from them affects 72,000 people on the planet. So when you and I are doing this show and we're talking, your 72,000 and my 72,000, add them together, becomes 144,000 people on the planet that will receive what it is that we're putting out there consciously. What they do with it don't matter, but it's put out there. And so that's what we talk about when two or more are gathered in my name. Isn't that what they say in their book? Two or more gathered in my name, and that part of it, and then they talk about the 144,000. So it's overstanding. This is our alchemy. This is our science. This is science means knowledge, not quote unquote Einstein's theory of E equals MC squared. No, this is our science. This is what the Dogons knew, that there was Sirius A, B, and C that's there, and their Hubble telescopes discovered in the